Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show, Family Matters. This week, Mask is starting our 21st year of doing the Mask Helpline support groups. We're a referral agency. We've helped over 47,000 families that reached out to us over the 20 years that we just completed. And when I started Mask, it was a week before Purim. So we are starting now today, our 21st year. Wow, I just cannot even wrap my head around it, that it's 21 years. But Klal Yisrael is so, so blessed that there are so many organizations now out there with Mask, agencies, therapists that are trained to help these families that need the guidance, the help, the referrals for clinicians that are well trained in helping families that are struggling in all mental health areas, including addictions. When I started 21 years ago, there was like nobody out there. Yanky Horowitz from Project Yes started the same week as Mask, and together we had our first program on Avenue N by Rabbi Rosenblatt's shul. A shout out to Rabbi and Rabbi Tzimbasi Rosenblatt. Thank you for always being there for the families and for the Mask staff. So this evening, I'm very, very honored to have with us tonight Eike Dweck from the Safe Foundation, which is a Jewish outpatient treatment in Brooklyn for families. Eike has been in this years, I'm talking about on the streets with the families, with the clients, out there in the community, for not only at risk and gambling and addictions, but also in the role of prevention of at risk. And Ike's going to talk more about what he's been involved with the last 30 years, but I want to welcome you, Ike, for being on tonight. I know it's a real busy week for you. It always is, but especially before Purim. So I really want to welcome you tonight. Thank you for taking out the time to share with our listeners tonight. Thank you, Ike.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Zev and Rechama. I appreciate the offer to come on and give a few minutes.
So, Ike, you know, we're talking about Purim tonight, and Purim is such a fun time. The kids look forward to it. Families get together. You have a wonderful Purim Seuda, and it's just a fun, fun holiday. But there are many families that struggle, serious struggles on Purim, and that's because of the alcohol that is, you know, surrounds this holiday and is a part of the holiday. We exchange alcohol, we exchange, you know, gifts, shalach manos, and it is very, very difficult for families whose loved one or themselves may have an alcohol issue. So first, I just want to tell our listeners that Mask put up our billboard, No Home is a Safe Place for Underage Drinking, and our billboard is in Crown Heights on Eastern Parkway in front of the Children's Museum. Ike, you saw the billboard?
I saw it. It looks fantastic. Really proud of you and what you guys have accomplished putting up notices to people, because this is a very challenging day and holiday for the Jewish people. If I may, I think the most important thing to recognize is that the messages that the kids are getting from their schools, possibly from their rabbis, possibly from the holiday, that day, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, after speaking with Hatzalah, is the busiest day for Hatzalah. What I see when I'm driving around and taking my kids in Mishloach Manot and going to visit friends and lunch and family, I see kids 12, 13, 14, 15 years old running in the streets, drinking, running with bottles of alcohol. A few years ago, I went to a friend's house, and the door was open, and a number of drunk teenagers, maybe 14 or 15-year-olds, came running in and dancing in the house, You can see that they were drunk. You could see they were inebriated. It was so dangerous. And I got to tell you, I'm so concerned. Our day that we get busy is not the day of Purim. That's Hatzalah's day. The next day, we get inundated with phone calls about parents who's calling about their children and their concerns that the messages that they're receiving, the kids have gotten from their yeshivas or possibly using it as a day that they have an excuse to drink. And that's the real trouble. The real trouble is the message. And parents need to sit down with their kids before this holiday and explain to them what they expect from their children. And they're not going to tolerate and accept that a 15-year-old, a 14-year-old, or 16-year-old is going to go out there and get drunk and, God forbid, have alcohol poisoning or have issues with, you know, with medical issues and have to call Hatzalah. So this is a big problem. This day is the biggest day of the year, as I said, and we have many concerns because of the day.
Yes. You know, I really want to start with parents speaking to their children, you said, but there is one more thing that we must make parents aware of, and that is that alcohol must be watched, and that is the responsibility of the parent, that it must be locked up. You can't have open bottles just hanging out on Purim available because you turn your back, a lot of people at home, and then there are young adults that share with mask years later after they've gotten in treatment, after they're sober, after they're out of rehab, after they've cleaned up their lives, and now they're really living towards a alcohol-free life. They have shared over and over and over again that there are three times that they get alcohol. They've gotten alcohol when they were younger at bar mitzvahs, where they have been when they were young, and the alcohol was available on the table, and when people weren't watching. Simchas Torah, they had their first drink, and Purim. They said Purim is alcohol all over the house. Nobody realizes what's going on. Everybody's so busy, people coming and going, and they're able to try it then. So we really need to remind the parents that we need to be very cognizant about what's going on with the alcohol in our homes. So that's number one. Number two, Ikey, you said about having a conversation with your children. Can you give some of the words, some of the language for parents to be able to know how to have that conversation? What would you suggest you say to young adults
Absolutely. Before
Purim?
Absolutely. I think there's a couple of issues, really, that parents have to understand. Number one, kids emulate their parents. Kids grow up wanting to be their parents, whether you like that or not. So if you're drinking and you're showing your kids that this is okay and you're getting drunk on the Friday or Saturday Shabbos table and you're going to kiddush clubs and you're coming out of that and you come home and you're sleeping all day, or you're going out at night and you're going to a wedding and you're drinking and you're, you know, just not in control of yourself, kids see that and say, wow, my parents do that, so it must be good, because kids want to be their parents. That's the first thing. Second thing is the legal drinking age, of course, is 21, right? So we all understand that, okay, that's not real in our world, whether it's the Jewish world or not. But the reality is the kids who are drinking early, their brains are not really fully developed till about 23, 24. For every time they drink, they're going to impact their brain in a negative way. And that's going to be a problem in the future. So parents have to do a number of things, like you said. One, they have to understand what's in their house. They have to understand where it is in their house. Where is the alcohol? They can't just say, oh, I have a good kid, it's not my kid, because it's going to be your kid. I've seen many times hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of families that walk in here, great parents, great people, but they're walking into my office because their child has gotten a hold of the alcohol, and their child has been abusing alcohol and going out and creating a real mess of their lives. So number one is accountability, knowing where that alcohol is, and not to be fooled when you might have vodka in the house and you see that it's filled up to the top, but the kids had a party Saturday night and they drank it all but filled it up this time with water or something. So So it's most important that you know what you have and what your inventory is in your house, number one. Number two is your kids have to understand what you expect from them. Kids want to be told. Whether you realize it or not, kids like to be disciplined. They like to be told what to do. They like to know that there's accountability. They like to know that there's a consequence to their actions. When kids see that parents care enough to create a level of accountability and consequences, it makes them feel good. And it makes them not want to drink because they don't need to self-medicate. So the conversation has to start with the children, and it has to be ongoing. It's not one conversation. You know, son, we love you, or daughter, we love you, we care about you, but we don't expect this kind of behavior. We really understand that this is something that we hold you in much higher regard. But that's not really the case. What we really need to do is keep the message going constantly. It has to be a positive reinforcement. We're so proud of you. You went out with your friends tonight. They drank and you didn't. That's unbelievable. You're making us very proud, and build the self-esteem up in that child. So those are just a few little examples that parents need to understand. Number one, kids emulate their parents. Number two, understanding where your alcohol is in your house. What's your inventory of alcohol? And the reality, not every parent has a problem with alcohol, but at the end of the day, kids will want to emulate their parents. That's the biggest thing that people, when they come in here, I try to explain to them. So this is not just a child issue, it's a family issue. And that's really how it starts and ends.
Yeah, and I'm wondering about the question of parents saying, I drink with dinner. You know, before dinner, I need a chill, I have a cup of wine, or I can't, you know, go a night without having a drink. Can you define addiction versus tolerance, so that there's some clarity on that with parents understanding?
I got a call last week from a parent that said, you know, my kid is 16, I know they're going to drink, so I took my son out to a place, and I showed him how to drink. And I said, that is the worst parenting that you can do. You could be arrested, because that's not how you teach your child how to drink. That's the first thing. Number one, you don't teach your child how to drink. What happens is you have to realize that drinking or anything that's done in a healthy way is done in moderation, but you're not going to teach your underage child how to drink. So that's the first problem. The second issue we have to talk about is understanding what that child is feeling and why they would feel the need to drink. You know, there's many weddings and bar mitzvahs and brises and all these places where alcohol is being served. So kids will sometimes take the alcohol as a parent is walking around, they put on a table. Kids will go onto the table and say, okay, there's nobody watching, and they'll drink that alcohol. So that's another problem where there's no accountability is at these functions. So when we talk, let's just move to another area. We talk about alcoholics. An alcoholic is not only somebody who drinks every single day to excess. An alcoholic, we have a patient a few years ago that every Friday night and Saturday, the father would drink in front of the kids. He would go to class on Saturday morning after the synagogue, and he would pass out on the lunch table. And he would say, well, I don't drink the whole week. I just drink on Friday and Saturday. And those kids were traumatized. Those kids are being raised by understanding that it's okay to drink and pound yourself on a Friday night and Saturday, sleep all day, and realize that there's no consequence. But that's an alcoholic as well. So you can be an alcoholic and drink every day, but you can be also an alcoholic by doing what that guy did. And that's the danger. And the children see that. The kids are very bright today. The kids are very, very smart. They take notes. They look at him. They look at mom and dad and see what they're doing, and that's exactly what they want to do.
Yeah, and you know, Ike, there are a lot of weddings and bar mitzvahs that are alcohol-free now, and shuls, synagogues, and though you put out years ago, not having the kiddush clubs. So there is a lot of positive going on around the time, you know, around this conversation about alcohol-free in reference to parent-child setting examples, etc. So that, you know, we do have to tell the OU and others that you know, work on this topic of alcohol-free, especially Ashkoach out there. Ike, let's talk about SAFE. So SAFE is an outpatient licensed Jewish program. Can you tell us more about it, please?
So many years ago, I was doing a lot of interventions and trying to help people, you know, with drug, alcohol, gambling problems. And there was really no place for them to get a therapeutic and clinical assessment and treatment. So in 2003, excuse me, I felt the need to go to my community here and talk about the need for an outpatient clinic. And so I started the SAFE Foundation, and we have licensed therapists, doctors, we have family counselors and nurses. We don't only treat the individual suffering through addiction, we treat the whole family because this is a family disease. And so the people that are here getting the help they need are the people, not only the chemically dependent or the gambler, but their family members. Every single person that has an addiction has some loved one that is suffering through this pain. This morning I received a call from a mother-in-law whose son-in-law was in a very, very bad way with opiates, and her daughter is really suffering, and we invited them all here into SAFE to understand how to deal with that person. And usually trying to take that drug away from the person is the hardest thing. And so it takes a lot of time. It's a long process. The average length of stay in treatment here in our outpatient program, it's not inpatient, you don't sleep here, is anywhere from 8 months to a year. Because we know that statistically, the longer they can stay stable in recovery, the best chance they have to succeed. So there's group meetings, there's family meetings. I know, you know, we coordinate with you often because of the great work that you've been doing for so many years at MASC.
Thank you.
And I got to be honest with you, there's not a lot of places who are sensitive to the Jewish people and understanding the struggles, like you just said, about Purim and some of the Jewish holidays and the weddings and bar mitzvahs, and there's alcohol all around and the pressures. So we have that. We understand that because we are a Jewish program. And we're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we come out, we'll do an intervention, we'll try and set up family meetings for the family. Now, sometimes the addicts or the people struggling with addiction don't want to come in. That's not a problem. The family could come in and get the treatment they need. And most of the time, over time, we'll teach them to speak the language of their family member and get them into treatment. So it's a process, and it's like a form of cancer. Addiction is a form of cancer, and that's just the reality. And we have to accept it in 2018.
Right. I wanted to say alcoholism is an illness. And it's hard for family members, for loved ones, to accept that at the beginning. For the listeners that are just tuning in, I want you to know we have Ike Dweck from the SAFE Foundation Outpatient Clinic on with us tonight. Ike, I'd like you to give out the SAFE number, please.
So if you need help or even have any questions regarding addiction, abuse, or anything that you might need, it's 866-569-SAFE, S-A-F-E. That's 866-569-SAFE. All calls are strictly confidential. And we're happy to help anybody that needs any help. We get calls all over the world from people that are struggling and don't know where to turn. And if we can't help you, I can guarantee you that we'll know where to send you. That's for sure.
Right. And mention that when you do call, listeners, anyone that calls, you can call anonymous to ask them any of the questions you may have. And mention that you heard Ike on the MASC radio show. And they will take care of you immediately, just like they take care of all their families there, all their clients. SAFE is a very motivated program. So if you're motivated to get the help for your loved ones, yourself, your family members, your friends, call SAFE. And for those that would want some referrals or to speak to MASC, our number is 718-758-0400. Write it down. Maybe you need the number for a friend, someone you next to in shul, a loved one, a neighbor. Again, MASC's confidential helpline number for referrals, support groups for all mental health issues, and prevention of at-risk behaviors, 718-758-0400. So like I was saying, alcoholism is an illness, and sick people can be helped only by appropriate treatment, not by being taught lessons. And I know, Ike, you know, there are couples that call, they're screaming at the alcoholic, they're shaming him, children are getting shamed, they loved ones recite long lists of harmful things they've done to the family, making him feel guilty, depriving them of different things because they got drunk. All these punitive maneuvers are worthless. You know, hurting the alcoholic, Ike, only adds to the fire. And the alcoholic, you know, is a person who's probably already in severe pain, and increasing the pain can hardly help. So if anybody wants to get an alcoholic the help, or you notice that somebody's drinking excessively, call Ike, call SAFE. They can help you. Ike, I want to touch on support. Let's talk about support again for the family members, because it's scary. They don't know what to do. They cover for their, you know, when their husband or a wife or child doesn't show up to a simcha, or the boss, they're late to work, or, you know, so many different scenarios we can talk about. The parents, family members, the significant others. What support are you going to offer to those family members? Let them hear again all the support that you have for those family members.
So people have to understand, they shouldn't be embarrassed or in some level of shame in having a loved one who's struggling with any kind of addiction. It's not their fault. It's, you know, if somebody genetically, if somebody has a family member, a father or mother who is struggling with addiction, their child is going to be four times more likely to have an addiction as they grow up. So there are certain things we could control. There's certain things we cannot control. And so the shame of people feeling that they're alone on an island really hurts them in getting help. They start to enable the people. They start to make excuses, like you said. And that's the bigger problem. The bigger problem is this. We don't know the exact time that person's going to get help. But we don't want the family members to drown. We don't want the family members to suffer. So when they come into SAFE, they're given their own family counselor. They're given somebody who has the experience to be empathetic to their problems, and also to understand that there are other people suffering like them. And so they'll be in a group with other family members that understand and can give you a level of hope and comfort. And each person is going to need to understand what it's going to take to save themselves first. You know, when you're on an airplane and they say, you know, if something is troubling on the airplane, take the mask when it comes down and put it on yourself first before you put it on somebody else, because you have to save yourself before you save the next person, so that you can be good enough and physically able to save the next person. If you're drowning as a family member through this process, you need to save yourself. You need to have a healthy detachment. We have Al-Anon meetings here on the on the premises. We have individual counselors, family counselors that can really give you the support you need, because right away you need support. You need that injection of support to survive and to succeed.
Yeah, Ike, can you, for the listeners that don't know what Al-Anon is and they're coming into this new and they have no idea, Al-Anon, Naranon, AA meetings, can you elaborate on that so that they understand what Al-Anon is?
These are support groups for people suffering either with addiction or family members who need that support. You know, we get calls from all over the world, like I said earlier. And the reason why we have such a high success rate of getting people into recovery versus some state program, we have a success rate about 68% of getting people into long-range recovery versus the state has a 30% success rate. Why? Because we give a tremendous amount of support to the family members. We give them people who are experiencing it. We give them phone numbers. When you walk in here, We give you people who are struggling with the same thing that might have already gone through their initial shock of finding out what's happening and in their recovery, and we'll give you phone numbers of people you can go to coffee with, go to lunch with, you can talk to, you can call in the middle of the night if you're feeling down, and that's the most important thing. In the Jewish community, we're very lucky to have level of support that we care about each other so much. When you're in a state program, they don't even involve the family members. They're not even required to come in for treatment. The state only cares about helping the addict, and that's why it's like a turnstile. They're in, they're out, they're in, they're out, because you can't help somebody and then return them back into the same dysfunctional home where their issues are. So the number one thing is support, between giving people a level of comfort and understanding that they're not alone, and that's why people will get better.
And I want to talk about relapse, because there is an issue of relapse. Sometimes there are people that do get clean and something may happen in their life, and there is relapse. There is a very big chance of relapse. So can you just, for our listeners quickly, before we end off, if you can just touch on relapse. We got 2 minutes left.
Okay. People sometimes come to me and say, okay, I'm going to make the call, I'm going to come in and get help, and I'm going to come in and once or twice, and I feel great, and that's it. It's very rare that that happens. Relapse is part of recovery, understanding what the triggers are, understanding what happens to people after the pink cloud is over, you know, the first 60 or 90 days when somebody's not drinking or drugging. What happens is people think, okay, I'm cured, I'm going to go out, I'm not going to have to worry again. But relapse is very real, and sometimes people have to relapse to be in a better place of recovery. We see this a lot, where people think just because they're clean and they haven't drank something for a couple of weeks or 3 weeks, and they say, you know what, I can drink now one. I'm going to have one. I'm going to have one drink tonight instead of the three or four or eight that I'm having. And so that really is the process that you're going to have to understand. That takes time. It takes time to understand that this is a disease that's inside of you, and this is a lifelong situation. So
sure,
I just wanted
to
thank you, Ruchama. I wanted to thank you for having me before you close up. And I hope that you'll continue your great work in helping so many people. You know I'm your number one fan, and anything I can do to help is you have my support.
Thank you. And I want to thank Ike, and I want to wish us all that we should all have a very safe Purim, and we should thank Ike. I want to thank you and your staff for the wonderful work that you do in helping these families in all addiction areas.
Thanks.
So your number again is
866-569-SAFE, S-A-F-E, 866-569-SAFE.
And go on to www.massparents.org to donate online to help these families. Purim, please stay safe. Providing alcohol to minors is illegal. Our number is 718-758-0400. Thank you. Have a good night and a wonderful Shabbos and a safe Purim.
Hi, this is Ruben Margolis, president of COA Brooklyn, inviting you to participate in our 18th annual Month to the Soldiers, to the Chayalim and the IDF. Bring joy, bring Purim joy to the IDF. Join us, donate, and if you're in Israel, you can make arrangements to join us in our distribution. But please call 718-339-8301 or visit our website. And our website is phonewithidf.com. And you'll really be impressed by some of the things we've done, and I think you'll appreciate the response of the soldiers. It's really great. So remember, phonewithidf.com.
Did you ever consider hosting your own radio or television show? We can help you get on the air. Talkline Communications works with broadcasters as well as with TV and radio stations in New York and nationwide that lease time, all at competitive rates. We work with doctors, lawyers, and other professionals, as well as with ethnic broadcasters. For more information about hosting your own radio or TV show, please call 212-769-1925. 212-769-1925. And out of New York, call 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW. That's 1-866-MY-TV-SHOW.